Some of us had the amazing privilege of going on pilgrimage to the Holy Land in November, so only a few weeks ago. No, that's the one from this morning. It's called Carols 2019. Thank you. So while we were there, we visited Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus in the Palestinian territories. And there we saw for ourselves the separation walls that have been built to keep the people of the occupied territories apart from Israel. Sorry, can you find it, Mimi? Because it was definitely there earlier. It's on the desktop. If you go on Open Recent, you should find it on PowerPoint. I need to show you the picture of the separation wall. It's the first one. Do you want me to come, or can you see it? Brilliant. Cradle of Hope. If you go on to the next picture, slide. So these, and if you look at the next one as well, are pictures, images of the separation walls in between the occupied territories and the land of Israel. And it's not a news story. There have been walls of separation in many places around the world over the centuries, along disputed lands and lines. Hadrian's Wall, the Great Wall of China, the Berlin Wall. They're there to protect, possibly, to keep out, to demarcate, to divide. Separation brings out and underlines difference, and it has the reverse effect of reconciliation. It actually prevents peace. It leads to a place of despair and hopelessness. Yesterday, the British artist Banksy revealed a new nativity scene in the Waldorf Hotel in Bethlehem. And it shows a nativity scene in front of a piece of separation wall, and the star is formed by the blast of bullets. The cradle of hope in a place of separation and suffering. For the birth of the Christ child, Jesus, which means God saves, Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, brings hope into a place of despair. At the time of Jesus' birth, the people of God were oppressed, living then in an occupied territory. Whether you think about those times, 2,000 years ago or now, everything is changed by this birth, the birth we remember at Christmas, because it takes us away from that place of hopelessness. We're given a new hope through that world-changing birth of a tiny, vulnerable baby. I found that image really powerful. Last year, the Samaritans, if you go on to the next slide, received nearly 11,000 calls on Christmas Day alone, and over 300,000 during the Christmas period. I heard this morning on the Sunday programme on Radio 4 the testimony of a woman called Sue Peart, who last Christmas had a really awful year. The beginning of the year, she'd lost her job. Then her mother had become seriously ill and then died. She stopped being able to sleep. She put the Samaritan's phone number into her phone so that she had it at night when her support network wasn't around for her. She didn't ever get to the point of using that number, but knowing that number was there helped her to come through that time of despair and hopelessness. And she is now a volunteer with Samaritans and will be taking phone calls this Christmas and on Christmas Day this year. Life is difficult. Things don't always turn out the way we hoped or dreamed. And it's very easy to feel discouraged and hopeless. And sometimes this is highlighted at this time of year, when we're supposed to be having a good time, when we're supposed to be happy, when we're supposed to be with family and friends. The psalmist writes in Psalm 42, the verse we started this service with, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" I expect we all feel a bit like that at points in our life. Maybe you do now. Maybe you do despite outward appearances. You feel like it's difficult to grasp onto hope. Difficult to experience the joy of the Christmas message. So let's not stop with the first part of that verse, because the second part, which you can see on this slide, says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help." We are all travellers on the journey of life. As we've heard in the various poem prayers that John's read us, we're all looking, longing for hope, longing to find where we can place hope in our lives. At the time of the birth of Jesus, and ever since, people have failed to recognise that true hope was born into the world that holy night, failed to recognize that the birth of the Christ child is world-changing and life-changing. Because that world-changing birth brings us all the hope of God's love breaking into the world and breaking into our hearts. Hope for forgiveness, hope for reconciliation, hope for justice and mercy, hope for a brighter future, hope for God's presence and power in daily living, hope that would enable each of us to forget the past and to set our sights on stuff that doesn't disappoint, not the shallow stuff that we sometimes find in the world, the consumerism that surrounds us at this Christmas time. For in Jesus, the God who created the world comes into the world as a tiny, vulnerable baby to transform the world and to transform us. In each of the poems we've read this evening, there are different expressions of the hope that we might long for ourselves and for those we know and those we don't know. The hope each of us might find in Jesus. What message of hope do you need this evening? What message of hope speaks to you? Hope for the world? Hope for yourself? Hope sometimes feels like a fragile commodity. We need to hang on to it, to recognize it where we find it. I want to invite you, to urge you, to remember that Christmas is a celebration of true hope born into the world for every single one of us and for the world. I want to invite you all to have a moment of quiet now, when I invite you to reflect on where you need and long for hope in your life. If you find it helpful, do look at some of those poems that we've heard read and see the hope that they're expressing. And as you reflect and think, I'm going to ask Tim and Sue, you know that enough the back, could also, is Michael there? Could someone, Gav, someone bring round pens, and you should all have a tag. And if you, I'd like to invite you to write something on your tag that expresses the hope that you long for this Christmas and going forward into this new decade, 2020. And we've got some spare tags as well. Before I close, I also want to invite you to use these Follow the Star 12 Days of Christmas Wonder booklets. There are 12 reflections for the 12 days of Christmas, starting on Christmas Day, I think. Yeah, starting on Christmas Day and ending on the 5th of January, which is Epiphany. Do take those and use those to discover something more of the hope that we find in Jesus at Christmas. And we've put out and given you some rather corny, it has to be said, Christmas invitations to our Alpha course, which starts on the 7th of January. So if you've got questions around what it means to find hope, you'd like to explore something more about what the Christian faith has to say and to offer in terms of hope for you and hope for the world, please do think about coming along to Alpha. It starts on Tuesday evenings on the 7th of January.